And back in our study of Jeremiah, I'm reminded, you're reminded, to understand that Israel, the nation chosen by God over and above all nations, cannot enjoy the specialness and the privilege apart from God. God makes them special. And when they leave God out, you can't be special. You can't enjoy the specialness. So Israel here, 10 tribes in the north of captivity, 100 years ago and so. And here they, Judah and Jerusalem, Benjamin, are about to go into captivity by way of Nebuchadnezzar, etc. They're in the process. And thus, in chapter 6, we shared together a bit ago, verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for me, ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. And all they had to do was ask. And that was in the middle of everything, when everything was terrible. All they had to do is turn to God and ask him for the old paths. Not ask for some help. Ask for the ways of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in faithfulness before God, faithfulness to God in God's faithfulness. And they just didn't do that. Now, having said that little bit, over if you were to chapter 15. So they didn't ask. They should have asked. They didn't ask. And we studied together in Isaiah 7:14, Ahaz didn't ask, etc. And we ought to ask. And we went and thought about all those things. Now, in the light of that, and God's dealing with Israel, and in chapter 15, remember, in chapter 15, that Israel is set in cement, as it were. They're fixed. They aren't going to change. They don't want to change. And thus, since they would not change, that leads to they could not change. Once you would not, would not, would not, would not, then pretty soon you could not, because you won't ever do it. So now, they just locked in, and Jeremiah has been in there dealing with them all these months and years that are going by, all the way to Zedekiah the king. And thus, here they are going down the corridor of time, and Jeremiah is there, and in the process, he is getting worn out. He wants to see the outcome. He wants to see the game over with. He doesn't want to see it keep continuing. He'd like to see it, Nebuchadnezzar, do what he's going to do, and let's see the finish of it so we can get on with things. But that wasn't happening. And thus Jeremiah, in the middle of it, as we shared together to remind ourselves, Daniel and Ezekiel are in the land of Babylon, and Jeremiah's left smack in the middle of the cesspool. He's in the middle of it, day in and day out. They're trying to get him. They're going to put him in prison. They're trying to kill him. They wish he'd go away, but there he is. So that's a very wearing, and as we've shared in the other times here in this section, that it's a wearing time, a very difficult time. And thus Jeremiah is getting worn out. And understandably now, he's looking out there trying to handle and live in difficult conditions and stress. And he has to learn how to be able to last in God's grace until God finishes something. And when God starts it, then you have to hang in there till God is finished with it. Same with your own life, our lives. God starts something, and you'd like to say, well, boy, I'd like to have the results faster. But it doesn't come faster. And so you have to keep living in it. So you want the results, then you have to wait. And you have to hang in there. What does it require? Well, that's what the lesson is. That's what Jeremiah is a help to us. It requires something to hang in there, to get the results that you're looking for. So now, having said that little bit, and here's Jeremiah getting worn out looking at in his own heart. He's getting drained and weary. He's looking out at them that are getting hotter and hotter, so there's no response from them at all. And everything he's looking at, when you look at the world, there's no light. When you look all around you in the world, the rightness that God requires is missing. And if you look in your heart, apart from God's grace, there is no rightness there either. And so when we're looking at the world, and we're looking inside and trying to handle things inside, mentally and otherwise, then that can be very draining, because there's no light, and there's no right, and it's demanding. And remember now, hold your finger here, over to Jeremiah and chapter 2. Chapter 2 in Jeremiah, remember in the beginning, God makes it clear the problem. Verse 13, "For my people have committed two evils. One, they have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters." I'm the constant supply. "And they have substituted, hewed, dug out, cleaned out cisterns. And they have tried to hope that water would get in them from rain and everything. But the systems are broken. Their system doesn't hold any water. They have forsaken God, the source of water, living water." Now, so Israel, Judah, Jerusalem, they're all dried up, and there's no water. And Jeremiah thus is getting all dried up. That's the trouble. He has to understand how to survive when the things just don't move fast enough for us, and things just stay like they are, and we're looking for some kind of refreshment, and we're getting drained because everything around us is taking from us. Everything around us is dry, dried up like Israel. They don't have any water, all dried up, dried bones like Ezekiel, all dried up. And then you're getting dried up because when you're in a very big, if you lived in the middle of a nice lake and two or three lakes around you, and you're in the middle of them, that's one kind of thing. If you're in the middle of the Sahara Desert, that's another. Do you know how fast you'd get dried up in the middle of the Sahara Desert? In the middle of the heat of the day? That's different than being the heat of the day in a nice green field. Wow. So you understand, when you're in that situation, it's dry and it takes out of you, drains you. And then you're getting thirsty. But if you don't supply some water and have something, you're going to be just like the system. And thus, that's Jeremiah as we shared together. So now, thus in chapter 15, remember now, I'll just pick up the context again. Chapter 15, picking up in verse 17. "I set not in the assembly of the mockers," making fun, merrymakers, "and nor rejoiced. I sat alone. I didn't fit in. I didn't want to fit in. I was all alone because of thy hand, because I was looking to you, God, and they didn't want you, and I wasn't going to leave you. For I am called by thy name," verse 17, verse 16, O Lord God of hosts, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, etc. That's the end of verse 16. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced again, as I sat alone by thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation, anger, I'm all worn out, and weary. Now, and then comes from the heart, and that's what you want to do. At least you aren't leaving God, Jeremiah. No, I'm going to talk to God, and I'm going to tell him, I'm not doing very good, God. Have you ever said that to God? I'm not doing very good. You don't want to say nothing. No, you don't want to say, God, I'm not doing any good. You got to do something for me. At least Jeremiah's doing that. And thus, verse 18, why is my pain perpetual, my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? And we shared together, as we did all that, that a liar, deceiving is the word, deceiving, a dried up, used, putting it all together, a dried up brook. You're looking for the water, here you are at the brook, and there's no water. No water, God, there's no water. I need water, there's no water. And as you go in the verse 18, the second part, waters that fail, that is, the waters are not, you can't count on the waters. They aren't constant. They aren't faithful. They aren't reliable. They aren't true. I can't count on them. So God, I can't. God, I'm all dried up. I've come to look to you, and I'm finding I'm all dried up, and I have nothing. Just like I didn't find you. You aren't helping me. And God, I'm not sure. Am I at fault? Who's at fault? God, what's missing? Something's terribly wrong in my life and in the situation. And therefore, he is going to go. Jeremiah is going to wait. And remember, he's looking for the destruction of Jerusalem, as we shared earlier. He's looking for that. That isn't happening. And that isn't happening. And then God's gracious grace and mercy, where's that? You aren't finding that. No. And it's easy to get weary. Now, Jeremiah's in a different place than Moses was. Moses got all worn out after 40 years or thereabouts. He got all worn out in what? He was with people that murmured and mumbled. And that's what they did. And interestingly enough, we aren't going to be able to look at all that probably, but in the process, when it comes to water, did Israel in 40 years with over 2.5 million people and all their livestock, you can just imagine the amount of it, in an area of desert, wilderness, did they ever run out of water? No. You gave them water day in and day out, whether they deserved it or not. Because God was taking care of them. They were under God's grace. And here's Israel, though. Here's Israel. And anyway, what I was going to say is that Moses, God was doing that. And Moses went, and remember, in the getting more water, he went and hit the rock instead of speaking to it. And that's why he wasn't allowed to go into the land to lead the people across the Jordan. Otherwise, he would have led the people across the Jordan instead of Joshua. But he got so frustrated with the people and their attitude and their unthankfulness, unthoughtfulness. And he did that. And thus in the process, he didn't understand, and he did ultimately understand God's grace. God was waiting. God was waiting. And you have to wait when God waits. You have to wait until God's ready. And here's Jonah. Jonah, remember Jonah went in to preach to Nineveh? And he did and did. And he didn't want to do it, but he did end up doing it. And know what? Nineveh closed the book, like Finney evangelist went up and down, etc. and the bar rooms would close, the house of prostitutions would close, everything closed down, and no one liked it when he came because everyone changed everything. Wow. And so when Jonah went in, Nineveh, they didn't get saved, but they stopped. And then Jonah got all upset. And remember, God had to use a little gourd, et cetera, and all of that. And what was the lesson? Well, God said to Jonah, you had pity on this little gourd, et cetera, but you had no pity on those people. And I had pity. I was going to wait. And he waited, what, another 150 years before he judged them. And boy, they got judged. They yielded to Jonah, but Jonah, it's hard, Jonah. It's hard, Moses. Hard, Jeremiah. When you're in the middle of the battle, when you're part of the system, it doesn't make any difference. But when you understand there's a difference, and you're supposed to be special, and you're supposed to have privileges and wonderful light and right, and it's all missing, and you know it. And feel it, and that becomes very distressing and very hard, to say the least. So now, in the light of all of that, God, in his wonderful grace, going as it is, Moses, and using Moses, Jonah, and all of that, and thus, God, your grace, my grace. Now, and for just for us to remember, for us, because we're trying to grab hold of this thing, because we got to keep living. We haven't died, so we got to keep living. We keep living another day, another week, another year, and your body gets older. The world conditions are what they are. Going to get not any get better. Hopefully you get a little relief, but not better. And therefore, in the process of it all, you get worn and worn and worn and worn, and you start feeling. In fact, if you stay at age 18, is that a good age? Then you can say at 18, yay, and you can. But then you become 28, and 58, and 68, and as time goes on, everything evolves, and all that you thought you could be and have at 18 is changed. It's no more, and you start feeling your body. You start feeling the world. You start feeling all kinds of things. All the stuff that you have is going to start happening the longer you live. Boy. Wow. So here we are looking, and what do we need? What did Jeremiah need? Because we can't stay at 18. We got to keep growing. And Jeremiah has to keep going. And therefore you have in John chapter 1, verse 16, I'll let you, we'll turn there. Hold your finger here, I'm coming right back. I could make a statement about it, but better that you lock it in. It's in your memory bank. You already know it. John chapter 1. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Word become flesh, verse 14, dwelt among us, the glory of the only begotten of the Father was in the middle of the Israelites, God the Son, God the Father, full of grace and truth. And now when you receive the Lord as your Savior, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the privilege to become children of God, even to believe on his name. And when you receive him who's full of grace and truth, you come to verse 16, for of his fullness have we all received. He's full of grace and truth, and we receive it, and grace in place of grace, in place of grace, little word F-O-R, preposition, in place of, in place of, in place of, like the waves, we've said it 5,000 times, like the waves of the ocean, each wave followed by another wave, and they never end. They never end. Well, grace. That's what you need. Grace. Jeremiah, you need grace in order to hang in there. Now, and remember, grace helps us in our misery, in our miserableness, which happens to us. Now, back over to Jeremiah, if I can. And now, now Jeremiah is there. He has to get this clear and look to God, as it were. And in the process, I should add, I should add it so you'll see it. Hold your finger here again and go over with me to Isaiah chapter 48. Another part will help us in thinking, understanding. God, what did you offer the 10 tribes in the north? What did they need? They needed grace, and they were all dried up. They were, and Israel in Jerusalem, the Israel and Judah, should have never been that dried up, but they did, because the 10 tribes in the north had no king, no priest, no prophet, zero. They never had anything. They totally separated from Jerusalem. They had their own priesthood. They had their own holy days. They changed everything. They lost out. And you know what? God waited and waited and waited until the 722, the Assyrian captivity. Now, here in Isaiah 48, God, and think of what you're looking at now, they get all dried out. Verse 16, "Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now the Lord God and his Spirit hath sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldst go." Now I'm going to lead you, just think of Sunday and all of that. Verse 18, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then, if you had paid attention, then ask," remember Jeremiah 6:16, "if you'd ask of me to go back to the old ways," verse 18, 48, 18 of Isaiah, "Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea." It would have been like that if you had just done that. Do you understand? If you'd look to me, let me finish. Go down. Go down, slide down to catch some of the context. Verse 21. Going back to the wilderness, again, we mentioned. "And they turned not when he led them through the deserts. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock for them. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked." Unto the wicked. But Israel, you're look special people, and if you look to God, that's what they were to learn. And God bore them on eagle's wings, as it were, and he fed them with water. And God, what did he say to the 10 tribes? I'll give you water, like rivers of water. Well, see, hold your finger still there, Jeremiah, and over to Psalm 1. And here's all the Psalms. And what's the first one like? The first one introduces you to the whole theme. Just think of, you start with Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. That's the Psalms. It's going to go in sections. Leviticus, it's going to move through that. And so the first thing, Psalm 1, David no doubt wrote it. "And thus, blessed is the man, the believing heart, that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." And what did you just say, rivers? If you just honor me, I would have, old paths, if you went back to that, I would have blessed you with water, water, water. Like what? Verse 3. "He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." So when's it going to stop? It doesn't. What, drought? Drought doesn't make any difference. You mean to tell me there's an endless, endless supply so that you never get dry, dried out and dried up? Nope. Never. Never. No matter what? No matter what. No matter how you do it. It's not going to happen. And that's what God promised that. And that's how our Lord Jesus Christ couldn't have been, he couldn't have had worse conditions. Even his disciples, apostles, were unbelieving, and they just had to be educated inch by inch until they got saved on the day of Pentecost, etc. And thereafter, all the benefits there came. So God, and he just made it. How could you make it? God made him special. Our Lord, full of grace and truth. And here's the believing heart, over to Jeremiah again. If I can, chapter 15. Now remember now, Jeremiah's learning. You got to be sustaining. Got to learn to abide. Abide, we shared all that. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, and you ask whichever you want, and I'll do it. But in the process, before that even, verse 4 and 5, without me, you can't do anything. You can't do it. You can't do it. How are you going to walk? You can't walk. How am I going to walk with you, God, if you don't go, if you're not there? So how am I going to have the sufficiency? I'm not going to have the sufficiency. How am I going to succeed? I'm not going to succeed. That's all. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to fail. It's not going to happen. So all of the realities Jeremiah was facing without and within, so do we every day, each year, and we now have to put that together. So God, what have we got? Well, we know what, we don't have to turn there, but in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 33, the lot is cast into the what? Lap, and the whole deciding of the matters is up to God. So the believing heart, here we are, and each one of us, Jeremiah had his, Isaiah had his, Jerusalem has theirs, they got it. And it's there. And God, you're going to have to decide in the light of all that's happening how to make it work out so it honors you and accomplishes your good purposes. So now, Psalm 31, I didn't mean to go back there without doing that. Psalm 31. And picking up our little thought, so we're exercising, the lot's cast into the lap, and God, it's the way it is, so it doesn't make any difference. Tomorrow's going to be what it is. Going to be what it is, whether you like it or not. And you haven't got there yet. God already is. So he already knows tomorrow. He already knows every word, thought, and deed. Before you, of everyone, all over forever, including the angels. Wow. So God, here we are. So now looking to you, God, we want to go and understand that. We don't want to exclude you. Jeremiah has to learn to stay with you. Stay with your wonderful faithfulness. Now, Psalm 31, picking up as you know, if I can, in verse 14. But I trusted in thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my God, and my times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. So God, and make thy face to shine upon thy servant and save me for thy mercy's sake, God. So we're looking to you and my time. So that's true. And we shared all that on Sunday. So your birth, before you ever born, and God already knew all about you. Had you, already had you. And then you were born, and the people are born. God already has them in the past, the present, the future. God already has them all. Already has them. The past is there. And so when we need to get to God, who has all of that in his head and heart for us. So, my times are in thy hand. And verse 14, 19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Then shalt thou hide them, then thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of men, and thou shalt keep keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. And so remember the secret of thy presence. Remember that's what Moses wanted, Exodus 33. He said, I'm not going to go. Israel didn't care. But God, Moses knew better. If you don't go with us, God, I'm not going another step. I don't want anyone. I don't want an angel. I don't want a nice angel. I don't want a Gabriel or Michael. I don't want, I know, I just want you, God. Unless you go, I'm not going. God will keep him in the secret of his presence. I'm not going anywhere, God, without you. And that's why Israel is going to be blessed, because Moses isn't going to lead them without God's presence. He isn't going anywhere. They could go off in Thule land, but Moses isn't. You stay with Moses, you stay with God's presence, you have the umbrella of God's protection. Wow. Now, in the light of that, and keeping that in mind, so God, what are you looking for? You're looking for us to stay full. Over, please, if you would, to, oh, the quickest way to do it is over to Colossians. And in Colossians, of all the wonderful things that God reminds us of, and in Colossians chapter 2, may pick up, please, in thought. Now, what do you need? You don't want to get all dried up. Nope. And God, you said you would provide rivers of living water. In fact, you said in John 4, you are the living waters. You are. You're the bread of life. You're the water of life. You're all of it. That's right. So if you stay with me, you're going to have everything. You're not going to get dried up. And therefore, God, why? Because God is God. And therefore, verse 9, chapter 2, verse 9, remember, for in him, dwelleth, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, bodily. So God, that's right, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's right. And therefore, verse 10, and you are complete. Remember, the word complete is the same as the word full in verse 9. And you are complete, are full, perfected in him, which is the head of all principality and powers. So God, you already are there. So we have to avail ourselves of your wonderful person and presence in a most wonderful way to trust you. That's right. You received me as my as your Savior, John 1:12. I did. Then you need to trust me for grace in place of grace in place of grace. And when you do that in grace, then are you gonna run out? No, I don't have to run to the store. I don't have to go anywhere. I don't have to have anything happen in the world, in my body, in my mind. I don't have to have anything happen. When I received you as my Savior, you are God. And you're never less than God. You're always God. And therefore, God, you'll always never run out. And so, God, the believing heart enjoys the fullness of who you are. Mm-hmm. Rivers of water, like a tree planted. That's right. That's what it's going to be. And Jeremiah, you have to learn that. Believers, we have a way advantage over Jeremiah in one sense, and we have that. So God, we're looking to you to be faithful, 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 faithful. And you're going to be faithful. And Jeremiah is going to say it. In fact, Jeremiah goes through this down in the dumps thing not very long, just long enough to go through it and stumble through it, and you learn through it. And the faster you learn, the quicker you get out of it, and get on with it. And that's what he did. And he learned what? God's wonderful, wonderful faithfulness. God's wonderfully faithful, always faithful. Yep, never less than faithful. No. Nope. So God, you aren't going to be less than faithful. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm going to have you run the race that's set before you. That's what I'm going to do. And you're going to do so. And when you do so, Psalm 23:5, your cup's going to run over, as it were. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. And God, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over, flowing over. Let's see, it shouldn't overflow because we're in the midst of drought and deadness. No, that's what it does. So God, in your presence, there's always life, right? So when I get connected again, what am I going to find? Not drought, life, river, water. I can't talk to you, God, without being in the presence of all of the benefits. And that's what I want to lock on to, God. That's what I need. That's what Jeremiah needs. That's how you're going to make it. You aren't going to make it trying to be dedicated and do, and people don't even do that. They just sort of slide along. But if they really wanted to get involved, then they can get worn out. You're trying to do right and hope people do right, hope your family comes out right, hope people get saved. Yeah, but it doesn't happen. Not too much. It doesn't happen. I wish it would happen. But everyone's an adult. They have to make their own decision. God made them separate. He didn't make them. You don't own children, do you? You don't own anyone. You don't even own yourself. So what are you doing? What are you doing? You're trying to, they have every right to do whatever they want to do. Much as whatever. They're either going to get saved or not. And it's up to them. Doesn't mean we ought to be good witnesses and all of that. But you don't make people saved or otherwise. You just want to keep yourself saved in the sense of enjoying God's saving grace. So in doing so, now as you go through the valley of the shadow of death, God is going to be with you and the cup's going to overflow as we share together. And God is going to be faithful, 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 faithful. Over in 2 Corinthians, no. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians in chapter 10. And you will note, you know it, you quote it probably, 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. And remember verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. So you really, you don't trust yourself. And you don't trust you're going to walk out and do it good. No. Because remember what we said, Hebrews, the easily beset us the sin, Hebrews 12:1, Sunday. And it surrounds us. Everything's there to occupy our hours and minutes in sound and sight and experience and everything. The world around us, in us and out of us. And it occupies us and prevails. So we can't even think about God in the right way or remind ourselves of the presence of God. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13. Therefore, there hath no temptation, testing, trial, taking you, but such as is common to man. So therefore, you don't say anything. You're special in the sense, you know, you're part of the human race. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, tested, tried, above all that we are able, but will make with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. So whatever it is, God, are we going to be able to survive? Uh-huh. Now, Jeremiah, that's what Jeremiah is going through. And God's going to give him a little spanking and let him go through it. He let Jeremiah go through that downward mentally and all of that depression kind of. God let him go there so that he could understand that he can't, that's not God's fault, that's his fault, his failure, Jeremiah's, no one else is to blame. And thus God is faithful, in chapter 10, verse 13, to permit, to allow, and make sure that there's nothing you can't cope with. COPE. You can cope with it, no matter what it is. So therefore, Jeremiah, take heart, take heed, and be very much involved. So Jeremiah, we're going to listen to him. And therefore, Jeremiah would tell us what? Don't expect too little from people, and don't expect too much from people. People are just people. So don't over, don't under. Don't be surprised that people can do or say anything. They're humans. They are capable of anything. Be glad it isn't as bad as it could be. And don't get all upset and disappointed, discouraged about human life. Your own nature is like it. So you don't have to go far to understand that. So therefore, you're going to go and look to God, and you aren't trying to hope God, people will treat you right, the things will come better at work, a home, a school, people love you more. No, it isn't going to be that way. No, you don't want to trust that, any of that. And you're going to get disappointed if you do. And therefore, in the process, you have to look for God's grace and God's mercy to get you through each thing and to be rightly involved. You're walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ is going to cleanse you from all sin. And you're going to go forward. And you're going to do so. And God is going to be wonderfully faithful. And you are going to what? Where are you going to find? You're not far away. Over to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. And picking up directly, if I can, in verse 13. The context is there, but if we believe not, if we don't believe, we're not faithful, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He can't do that. God has to be consistently God. He can't be discouraged, he can't be depressed, he can't be depleted, he can't get mad in the wrong way. He can't do it. He can't do it. All that he does is right. He can't do that. And God, you're not going to... So God, well, I'm going to trust your faithfulness. Uh-huh, that's what I'm going to do. And we're going to walk by faith. That's right. We're going to trust... How are we going to do that? Because of your faithfulness. So when I mentioned G-O-D, God, and all of that that includes that and is involved... God, when I mention your name, I understand that you are consistently God. And therefore, I'm going to look to you to be God. I'm practicing faith. I'm looking for you to be God because you have to be God. You can't be anything else. Wow. Now, having said that, 2 Corinthians, God, you can't. You have to be what you are. That's right. That's what you got to be. So in the process, God, you're going to let all the things happen in our little life, and we're going to learn to what? We're going to learn to be steady on course and not trying to absorb water from the world system so that we don't thirst. We're looking to you, God, so that we never thirst. If I start looking to myself, my own brains and heart, I start looking to out the world to somehow people, persons, places come and comfort me and help me, I'm not going to get what I need. No, I'm not. And I'm going to have a false sense of feeling good, then it's no good. No good. God, I got to look to you. I'm looking to the wrong things in the wrong way to stay fresh. So I don't get all dried out and dried up. And therefore, God, what are you going to do? Verse 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, verse 4, etc. So that what? We can able, with God, you're going to put us through it. That's right. And so people are going to know, are you able to save to the uttermost? Absolutely. Absolutely, God. You can do it without any question at all. So God, we're looking to you to do that. And in doing that, God, are we going to be sufficient? Absolutely. Chapter 3. Chapter 2 even, I'll pick it up, I can't even do that too much. Just remember verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16, to the one we are the savior of death, unto death, and to the other were savor of life unto life. In other words, the believing heart is going to be a little light, and people that want light will receive it. People that hate light will turn away from it. And thus, the believing heart is going to be a believer, a little light in the dark world. And then the question arises, who is sufficient, who is able, who, verse 16, for these things? Who can possibly do that? Well, God, we can't do it. Verse 5, chapter 3. Not that we are sufficient, there's a little word, efficient, able, of ourselves to think anything of ourselves. But we, our sufficiency, our ability, our competency is of you, God. That's right. And that's why, verse 6, who have made us able ministers, servant, remember the word able ministers, under rowers, I think of the ship in the ocean, and the Greeks and the Romans and that, and the Persians and others, down below, rowing the ship. They can't see anything. They just row. They just row. That's what they do. Wow. Can't even see where they're going. Wow. Well, we are made able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So God, you're going to do a wonderful thing for us. That's right. That's what I'm going to do. And chapter 4. And in verse 7, God, it's going to be, so you have to understand, we have this treasure, which is what we started with. In order to be special, you have to have that which makes you special, God. You can't be special without God. How are you going to have anything special without God? And therefore, chapter 4, verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So it isn't about us. No, it isn't about us. Nope. 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 Not at all. And so, God, we're going to look to you and walk by faith and not by sight. That's how we're going to do it. And that's what you told us to do. And enjoy your grace. And that's what we're supposed to do. God, you're going to be gracious to us. And as we go down, everything's going to be the same. You're going to go to the same bed, have the same whatever you do, sleep on. You're going to get up in the morning or the night or whatever you do, go to school and work and home, and you do the same thing. Same thing. Except if you're saved, you're going to learn to be looking to God as you do it. So you're going to enjoy. You aren't looking for the world. You aren't looking for, A, you aren't going to supply it in and of yourself. In me dwelleth what? No good thing. So I'm not looking for me to get water. I don't have water. I'm not looking for the world to give me any water because they aren't. They aren't going to do it. God, you are the fountain. You are the source of refreshment and that kind of energy to tackle anything because we aren't trying to draw from ourselves. The world is dry. And they refuse to tank the water of life. And they resent and are very antagonistic against those that have life. They don't like that. And that's what God, we're here. So how are we going to survive? God, in your grace, and Jeremiah, and that's what you're trying to help us understand. So God, we're going to walk by faith and look to you. And without faith, it's impossible to please you. You already told us that. And God, and they say, where is your God? And we're able to say quite freely, our God is in heaven, doing as he pleases. He's our God and Savior. And that's why we're going to be able to go and comfort, encourage, and no matter what, like in 2 Corinthians 4 and 7 and that, God, we're able to go and have all of the benefits of your presence. And that's a wonderful thing. So what do we get tonight? We ought to be reminded, if you're saved, that God is no less than who he always is, no less than who he is, no less able to do what he does, and he's able to be sufficient. And all I have to do is stop and make sure I look to him, ask, trust by faith. And I'm not looking for anything out of me. I'm looking to, there's nothing I can offer to God. He has to offer me His grace and His mercy, and that is endless in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm able to have that. So when I go to work or whatever, God, thank you for being an ever-present help. Thank you that, God, my success and my succeeding and my sufficiency for today is you. Not me, and not the people around me, and not what I do, or not how much money I have in my pocket. It's because of you. And then you're going to start learning how to stay steady on course, no matter the thick and thin of it, and you're going to hang in there, and it will just keep working. And Jeremiah, that's what he does. That's why he's such a marvelous fellow, because God put him through all of this for us, in fact. He didn't have to record Jeremiah. He could have recorded somebody else, but he recorded Jeremiah for us, so we could learn from it. Wow.